Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
I'm Tom Appel. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. When you have a chance, check us out at consumerguide.com. Lots of fun stuff there. Plus, you can listen to episodes of the podcast right there on our homepage, though you should probably just subscribe. And then review us. Nice reviews are good, especially if you're listening on Apple. That's Jill Simonillo. I'm pointing at her. She is managing editor of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. She is a North American Car of the Year juror and a prolific freelancer. How are you, Jill?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I got your cold or whatever it is.
I don't know. I think there's enough of a gap. This is not my cold.
I think it's yours.
I'm gonna blame your wife.
I think you gave it to my wife through me, and then I eventually succumbed to it.
I don't think that's how that works.
I already think I'm getting better, though. It was hitting me really hard last night, which sucked because I had to get something written. I have a personal schedule of things I have to do.
Right.
And I have to have something finished every week by the end of the week. A new car review.
Right.
So I can't ever skip that.
Yeah, you definitely did not have what I had then, because I was literally knocked out for 2 weeks.
You still sound like it.
Yeah. Today is the first day that I actually feel human.
Oh, I have a cough drop working on me right now.
Okay.
All right.
Cherry or menthol?
Cherry.
Okay, good.
Enough
good
of
job.
Our belly aching. We both have colds. The Chicago Auto Show wraps up as we speak.
Yes.
This is Monday when we record this. That's mm-hmm. it. I think it was a good show. I didn't go. I didn't make it down there.
But, I went briefly.
But all accounts positive.
Yeah. No, I think that they did a great job filling out the space. I think there was a lot going on. You know, they had a Lego area. They had, like, with a family area. They had, several different test tracks. They had, just cars everywhere. I mean, it looked good.
You know who loves the auto show, which is funny because he doesn't drive, is Nick DiGilio. And he is down there right now with his girlfriend, okay. Julie D., the legendary Julie D. But if you want to see good pics and just fun from the auto show, follow Nick DiGilio on Facebook.
Yes.
All right. Interesting piece of news. Now, you were driving the Mini Cooper, the 2025 Mini Cooper Countryman.
Yes.
JCW.
Yes.
However, it's no longer Cooper. Did you catch that?
I did not.
After years and years and years of torturing editors with the word Cooper just being tossed into the name of every vehicle.
Right.
It looks like with the new cars, they're taking the Cooper away. So it's just Mini now.
I'm going to have to dig into that.
Yeah.
Because I always thought Cooper was so it was like Mini Countryman, Mini Cooper, Mini Clubman. I didn't think it was like Mini Cooper Clubman.
Yeah, it was. Cooper was always involved in that. Cooper's part of the history and legacy of Mini.
Right.
JCW is John Cooper Works.
Yes.
A garage. But anyway, that vehicle.
That vehicle.
We'll talk about that vehicle at some point because it is just so gosh darn fun.
Yeah, I
wish it wasn't as expensive as it was.
Yeah, I just got it today. Yeah. So.
Well, I drove it. Actually, that's the review I just finished.
Okay.
And it's hard to convey just how what is basically a compact crossover that looks like a Mini mm-hmm. Can be so much fun. But it is. 312 horsepower, 7-speed double clutch transmission that works very well. Usually when you hear double clutch, you should run in fear. Because Volkswagen's messed a couple of those up
lately.
Oh,
yeah, they have.
So that's that story. I have a great story for you.
Okay.
We didn't talk about this in advance.
No, we did not.
Airbags.
Okay.
You wouldn't think an airbag story would be great, but this one's interesting.
Okay.
So lots of airbags, right?
Yes.
Front airbags, side airbags, curtain side airbags, knee airbags, head airbags. Now, are you ready?
Console airbag.
No.
Okay.
Buick did that, though.
Yes, they did.
Center console airbag for a little while. Buick did that in the Enclave. Didn't stick. Largely because they couldn't make consumers care.
Yeah, I feel like there was another vehicle that currently has it. So
the center console airbag is interesting because it prevents people from colliding against each other.
Yep.
And possibly banging heads. Mm-hmm. So good thing, but expensive. And we get to this thing where is it worth the cost if the incident of an accident is so low?
Right.
I know you have to make really hard decisions there, but adding $275 to the cost of every vehicle may not be worth it if only two people bop nuggins, once or twice a year. No, are you ready?
Okay.
Heel airbags. as in foot, heel airbags.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I just don't understand how that works.
Well, they're being developed by ZF LifeTech, and that's the same ZF that builds the most popular 8-speed automatic in the world, the one that's in the Ram, for example.
Okay.
Same company, ZF. They're working in heel airbags, and this is why. As we move closer to autonomy or some state of autonomy where drivers will be less engaged in driving, they are more likely to recline in the seat. And this, I think you can see where this is going. The current airbag arrangement in a car is designed to work on a person sitting more or less in a chair position.
Okay.
If you recline, you're more likely to slide down the seat, and your knees are likely to be out further than your feet. That's not the way the airbags are supposed to work. So the heel bag will deploy and basically force your heels to your legs to be where they need to be for the knee airbag and the other airbags to work. So instead of being in some sort of slumped position with your knees moving forward, your knees and shins will be moving forward in unison, basically. I saw diagrams of this. It's a little confusing, I guess, to explain based on the look on your face.
Yes.
But it is something. It's a little ahead of its time right now because we don't have autonomous vehicles that allow you to go to sleep in a car. But it's coming. Maybe. Yeah, I'm no big fan of autonomy, and I don't think it's coming around the corner. But
no, I mean, they haven't even started testing in places like Chicago, which gets snow. So.
Well, snow. Snow's a big one. Yeah.
I just, paint lines, like, our lines and infrastructure just sucks here.
No, yeah.
So until they figure that stuff out, like, ain't going to happen.
Well, they may not be coming, but the airbags are ready.
Okay.
Heel airbags.
Heel airbags.
All right.
You heard it here first.
The vehicle you're driving right now that I just drove, we just talked about the
does
Mini.
Does not have heel airbags.
No, but the Mini the Mini Cooper Countryman,
Mini
JCW,
Countryman.
Has Vescin, V-S-C-I-N, seats.
Okay.
They look like leather.
Okay.
But they're made out of recycled material, and it's vegan.
Ooh.
That's why it doesn't smell like leather.
Okay.
All right. So I just, it's a good looking interior.
It is.
I wrote my review of that vehicle last night, so that's where this came up.
Got it.
All right. Genesis.
Yes.
You've heard of it?
Yes, I've heard of it.
The very successful, after years of doing nothing, after years of just selling us two sedans that no one cared about, they've become very successful in the last half decade or so.
Well, I wouldn't say years. They had Genesis sedans under the Hyundai moniker. Then they created their own brand, and then they became wildly successful.
Yeah, but for, what, 3, 4, 5 model years, we were just sort of looking at those same sedans. It was boring.
There were like three because it was the G70, G80, G90.
Well, the G70 came much later. The G80, G90 were around forever. The G90 was based on the Hyundai Equis. The G80 was based on the Genesis. And both of those were perfectly nice cars that were, frankly,
perfectly
lame.
Nice.
Lame.
No, they were not lame.
But the Genesis lineup now is fabulous.
It is.
And it's about to get more fabulous. That's where this is going.
That's where this is going. Got it.
Have you seen the test car on the road? The well-disguised GV90?
I have seen pictures of the concept vehicle.
Yeah, so there's a GV90 floating around out there, but this will be a premium large SUV.
Well, EV.
So Mercedes GLS.
I think they're planning it to be EV, aren't they?
I don't know.
Kind of based on...
I didn't even actually think about that. I just think it's interesting that they're going to have a new flagship crossover.
Well, because I was thinking along the lines of like EV9 and Ioniq 9, and then you have
Could
the GV90.
Be. Could be.
And I will say, like, Genesis is doing this electrification thing where they have multiple powertrains in their vehicles. So you have the GV70 that's both electric and gas. You have the, the G80, which is the sedan, which is electric and gas. And so I could see it, if not being electric only, being electric and gas.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But just out there, they're going to have a new flagship. This vehicle will be 6 digits.
Yeah.
Almost certainly. Because the GV80 gets pretty expensive.
Yeah.
It gets into the mid-80s.
Yeah.
So this is going to be above that.
Yeah.
So it's camouflage. Can't get a good look at it. I'm sure it's great looking. But who knows?
Yeah.
All right. So that's the stuff. That's the news.
The news.
A little while after the break, we talk to Lindsay Bertino about Ford police cars.
Yes.
This is an anniversary.
Yes.
The 75th anniversary of the first Ford prepped Ford prepared police car sold to the, to some law enforcement organization.
It's kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. But before that, you and I, we don't normally talk about the same cars at the same time.
Right.
Recently drove something pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
And in some ways, incredibly sad.
Okay.
Because it ain't going to last.
I don't know. I'm holding my breath that it's lasting.
Do you know how many of these, we haven't identified the vehicle yet, do you know how many of these that Subaru sold last year?
Probably, like, not many.
Not many is correct. About 3,000 units.
Oh, I was going to go for 10.
No, but that's how many Toyota sold.
Okay.
We're talking about the Subaru BRZ.
Yes.
A vehicle built and designed by Subaru that they share with Toyota.
Yes.
Toyota sells it as the GR86.
Yeah, I was going to say the FRS, but that was the old Scion version.
The FRS was the earlier version of that, still built by Subaru, that was sold under the Scion brand.
Yep.
Also sad.
Yes.
That Scion went away.
Yes.
But they let Scion die slowly.
They killed it pretty quickly.
No, but what happened to it was they came out with the XB, that delightful little small box on wheels, and then they promised they were just going to redesign cars every 3 years and they'd be different.
Yeah.
So it was going to be just this wonderful, creative lineup of vehicles that were always different, always fun, always youth-oriented. And no.
Well, they had the CHR. That was the last concept vehicle that they had. And then Scion died, and then CHR became a Toyota.
Yeah, just like the FRS became.
Yeah.
But anyway, the BRZ.
Yes.
And the FRS. I'm sorry, the GR86.
Yes.
Delightful Subaru-designed rear-wheel drive little sport coupes. They are not as not as affordable as they should have been, and as sort of was their mission at the beginning.
Right.
But they are not expensive.
Right.
And they are rear drive, little coupes, still available with a manual transmission.
In fact, most of the trims only come with a manual transmission.
And they are a hoot to drive.
They really are a hoot to drive.
And I don't know how many people are still looking for cars like this, but if you are, they're there.
Yeah.
And I didn't check. I kind of get the sense these might be expensive to insure, especially if you're young. So you might want to check. But we're talking about pretty fundamental vehicles here, right? Yep. A regular, normally aspirated 2.4-liter engine. What is it, 228 horsepower?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Something like that. I've got it in my notes, but I can't read my notes, so I don't know why I do notes. Six-speed manual transmission in the one that we tried.
Yeah.
And we tried the TS.
Which is the top trim.
And that includes a beefed-up suspension and Brembo brand front brakes.
Yeah.
So kind of serious.
Yeah.
And I drove this thing, and I've done this before. I drove this thing. It's a beautiful blue. I drove this thing around after a snowstorm. So no snow.
Right.
But powdery salt all over the road.
Yeah.
Same effect.
Yeah.
This is rear drive, and the butt comes around in a hurry if you're not careful. Or if you want it to.
Fair.
But it's hard to explain how much fun this vehicle is. It's relatively practical. The backseat is useless, but there's a big hatch area.
Yes.
It's good. It gets good gas mileage. They start in a $30,000 range. They get to $40,000, kind of a lot if you're young, and that's kind of the target for this, which is probably why they don't sell that well. But dang, if you just want a fun car that makes your commute fun, this is it.
Yeah, I actually drove it to Indianapolis, so I took a little bit of a road trip in it, and it was comfortable for the long haul. You know, the seats felt good. You know, it was, I mean, not crazy quiet in the cabin, but it was like I could have a conversation.
That's not its mission.
I could have a conversation with my husband without shouting at him.
Yeah, and, that's also not that car's mission.
No, but it was comfortable. It was fun to drive. And what I thought was really impressive, a lot of times when you have a manual transmission, you can't get adaptive cruise control. But this vehicle actually has adaptive cruise control. You just have to remember.
I didn't even make that observation.
Yeah, if you you drive 400 miles and that comes in handy.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to remember you're driving a manual transmission vehicle, and if the person in front of you is putting on their brakes quicker, you have to shift. You can't just let the car do all the work.
Because it'll stall on the highway.
Yeah, and that would be very, very bad.
If you're in sixth gear and the car decides to drop you 20 miles, then it could possibly stall out. Part of the reason manual transmissions are going away.
Well.
Which is a bummer.
Yeah. I did a tech check on this vehicle. So I will send you my video link. I think my thumbnail is like, there's this much tech. And it's like just a little bitty bit of tech. Because it has the adaptive cruise control. And it does have like Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. But it just small screen. Analog gauges. And I mean, not that I'm complaining. Because this car totally like wins with the low techiness of it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care. This is just fun. It's very, and in fact, I think that its simplicity is part of its appeal.
I agree.
It's really a driver's car.
It is.
And one of the nice things about it too, the Brembo brakes are nice, but steering feel.
Mm-hmm.
Really good, meaty, beefy steering feel. You can feel the road. And a lot of that's artificial now because everything has electric power steering. The world's changing, but but it feels good. It feels like you can feel the road. You got the grip. It what a fun car.
Yeah.
I got the numbers here, by the way. They sold 3,345 of these last year. Ouch.
Yeah.
But Toyota did move many more, 1,140.26. Actually, slightly more than the year before for Toyota.
Okay.
Maybe these will stick around for a while. Because this is where a manufacturer has to do like a cost analysis, right? They're not probably making any money on the car.
No.
So is it good for their reputation? Is it good to get young people in there? Is it good for enthusiasts to think about that brand? And that's the question, really. Now, Toyota's got like a Celica coming back.
Yeah.
So.
And I've heard rumors of the MR2 coming back, too.
The Celica could be this.
Yeah.
Actually, the next generation of this. Because that's the thing that Acura did to us, right? Oh, we're bringing back the Integra. Well, I owned an Integra. It was fabulous. And it was, in fact, Civic-based, but this is just a Civic.
Yeah, or the ILX.
Yeah, it's a very nice Civic.
Yeah.
But bringing back these heritage names, I guess it makes news.
Yeah.
I guess.
Well, in name recognition, which is way better, like GR86. Like, what the hell's a GR86?
I don't know. I don't even know what Gazoo Racing is. GR is Gazoo Racing.
Yeah, yeah.
And 86. 86 actually goes back to an old Celica. Or yeah. Corolla, I'm sorry, a performance Corolla.
But that's
Corolla.
So obscure.
It's very obscure.
And so, like, Celica, like, people know Celica. People know MR2.
Yeah. It is obscure, and it's a throwback. And I think we're getting past a lot of these throwbacks. And I've said this before, like, the resurrection of the Scout brand. I don't think there's Scout love out there.
Hmm.
I remember it fondly.
Right.
But I'm 60.
And
I had a friend whose dad owned an international dealership. This is why I knew what Scout was. but I don't think people love the Scout travel all.
Well, I mean, so they will have to create their new, a new brand. It's essentially a new brand, even though they're bringing it back. Like, nobody knows what it is.
Well, yeah.
Except for you.
It is kind of a clean slate.
Mm-hmm.
They can say Scout. And for whatever reason, if you do remember it, you probably remembered as kind of commercial off-roady. Mm-hmm. So it's got that kind of credential, right? It's kind of... It sounds like it's got some heritage.
Right.
So that's cool. But back to the BRZ.
Yes.
I frankly love this vehicle. It was a joy to drive. Now I'm a big guy, right? 6'1", mm-hmm. over 350 pounds. I literally fell into this vehicle.
Did you get out of the vehicle is my question.
No. Falling was easy.
Yeah.
Falling into the car was easy. Once I was in, I was extremely comfortable, enjoyed mm-hmm. driving it, and found a great position for driving stick,
uh-huh.
which is important, actually.
Yeah.
And even with a bum knee, I was driving just fine. Getting out was embarrassing.
That's where I need to set up the video camera.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I would literally park at places where I thought people couldn't see me getting out of it. And I think I told you this story. I had the Mercedes-Benz SLS once.
Uh-huh.
I had it overnight because we passed it around at Consumer Guide and everyone drove it. But that was their really hot sports car. Very good-looking car.
Right.
Going doors.
Yep,
it was a crazy car. I could not get out of it without putting both knees on the pavement.
Ooh.
I could fall into it.
And fall out of it.
Yeah, kind of roll out of it.
Now, I will say that is one benefit of being small is I very rarely have problems getting into or out of vehicles because I can just, I'm like very like just flexible and I can just get in and out of the vehicles pretty easily.
And now we talked about the Mini.
Yeah.
I get into that easy.
Well, it has a higher age point, too.
Yes. The age point, which is the hip point. Funny thing about the age point, we're running out of time here. We talked about Scion and the XB,
mm-hmm.
right? And this was supposed to be a youth brand.
Right.
And young people were supposed
yeah.
to buy this car. The
no.
people buying XBs were people in their 75,
yeah.
80 that needed hip replacements.
Yeah, because of the high yeah. hip point.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
like a slide in. If you were like 5'8 to 5'10, you could just slide into this car with no... And it was fun. Nice car.
Yeah.
All right. So the BRZ redesigned this year, or was it last year? I can't remember. But recently redesigned, bigger engine now. It's fun to drive. Not a lot of power, but good power.
It's the right size power for that vehicle.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is. And if you're whining about the power, this isn't the right car for you.
Yeah.
Also, the transmission, Not 100% smooth, but delightfully notchy. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's got a snicky thing going on where you can feel it. And like, this is a good shifter. It's not like a Mazda Miata shifter, which is really buttery smooth.
Right.
This one's very mechanical, but good mechanical.
Yeah.
And you hear it.
And I didn't think like the clutch point was too difficult to
deal with.
Clutch
was good.
Yeah, the clutch was good.
And that engine's big enough at 2.4 liters where there's enough torque to make driving away from a stoplight easy enough.
Yeah.
So no stalling out. I think I told you that I stalled it out once.
Oh.
After not having driven stick for like a year.
Yeah, I don't think I stalled.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we talk to Lindsay Bertino of Ford Police Brand Marketing about police cars.
Yes.
Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
And we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom, she's Jill. And Jill, we just learned, confirmed, I really can't do donuts during the break.
I can.
I had a donut hole. Not a big donut, not a huge commitment, but I feel like now my mouth is still kind of working it.
Yeah, I don't have that problem.
All right. Help me out here real quick.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
Are you on social media?
Doggone it, I am, Jill. Thanks for asking. I am Car Guy Tom on Blue Sky and on Twitter X.
Twitter X. X Twitter.
X Twitter. Yeah, whichever. I'm on both. Car Spotter hashtag is what I find fun stuff on the road.
Okay.
Fun stuff like, I don't know, old police cars.
Ooh.
Is that a segue?
That could be a segue.
On the phone with us is Lindsay Bertino. She is the police brand marketing manager for Ford. Lindsay, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm excited because we have not talked about police cars before, and now we have a police car expert on the phone with us. So thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I am so excited to be your expert, but I do have to ask, this is just my personal question, what kind of donut did you have? Because that sounds amazing right now.
We got a bag of donut holes, and there are, powdered cinnamon, blueberry, and chocolate, and something with pink sprinkles that I'm ignoring.
That sounds delicious.
And the red donuts.
Red velvet.
Yeah, red velvet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is basically just two bags of holes, which, by the way, should not be $13.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Right. That sounds delicious. So,
yeah,
sorry,
they're good.
I'm a sweet person, so you said donut, and it got my mind going.
Yeah, no, they're yummy, actually. They're from a place called Spunky Dunkers in Palatine that I have a love-hate relationship with. They charge too much. They charge you for using credit cards, but doggone it, the donuts are good.
Oh, I feel like I have to find a bakery now.
We'll have to mail you some. So, Lindsay, tell us a little bit about what you do there at Ford.
Okay, so I have what I would consider to be the best job at Ford.
Yeah, sounds cool.
I'm the police brand marketing manager for Ford Pro, which is our commercial and government rental vehicle division. So, basically, I kind of own all of the police vehicles from a customer perspective, and I get to go out and tell people about these vehicles and show them off and take them to ride and drives. And to me, my favorite part, I get to work with the customers. So I really like this position, and I really love the job and the vehicles and what I do. And I get to meet wonderful people like you and come out on shows and tell you all about our vehicles and answer all the fun questions.
So when you say the customers, we're talking about states, municipalities, counties. And then to what extent are your customers also the police officers themselves?
I work with everybody. So we work with state, local, federal. We work with the officers in specific. We go to different shows throughout the year. So we have auto shows. We also have shows that are very specific for law enforcement and first responders. So we go out to the shows. We take the vehicles there. The customers get to get hands-on. A few of the different shows have a ride and drive event, so the customers can come out, they can test the vehicle, they can ask the questions. We have a government seals team, which is six people across the country that specialize in different regions, and they work with government customers only. So they work with either dealerships or, again, the specific agencies, and answer any question that you have. We help if you're picking features and trying to design options and figuring out, what's your plan for vehicles. We have, most agencies have a fleet manager that controls all the different vehicles they buy. So they've got their patrol units, they've got admin vehicles, they have trucks and haulers, depending on what they need in their particular area. So we kind of help them. We sit down and have the discussion and you know, what do you need? What do you need to support your agency? You know, do you need cars? Do you need trucks? Do you need SUVs? We help them if they want to talk powertrain. So do you want to talk gas vehicles? Are you interested in hybrid, diesel, electric? So whatever the discussion is, we're there to kind of help the customer on that path and on that journey.
Ford is kind of, what's the word I'm looking for here? Blessed is the wrong word. Ford is just sort of super strong in fleet, right? They own commercial fleet, and they clearly own the law enforcement fleet too, right? I mean, General Motors and Stellantis aren't even close in terms of what they offer in that regard. How is it that Ford stays on top of this? And then I have a very specific question about the Explorer.
Ooh. So we are leaders in this segment. Ford Pro, we own about 50% of the segment with our vehicles. The top selling police vehicle in the country is the Police Interceptor Utility, which is, you know, based off the Explorer kind of, when you look at it, when you discuss kind of the engineering updates and features and changes, you see that it's a very different vehicle, but from the exterior, it builds off of that same frame.
Yeah, and it looks very similar, and it looks horrifying in your rearview mirror.
Yeah. Whenever I see an Explorer, right? Whenever I see an Explorer in my rearview mirror, I'm just like, is that a cop? Is that not a cop? Is it a cop?
So interesting thing about the Explorer to me, back when you guys were moving tons and tons and tons of Crown Victorias, very traditional V8 engine up front, rear engine and back, and one of the things that those cars had going for them was just a coil front suspension, which I understand was extremely durable for things like curb hopping. And I thought that law enforcement kind of pushed back against all-wheel drive, and they pushed back against front-wheel drive because the front ends of those vehicles were not considered to be as durable. Clearly, Ford has sold through this with the Explorer because you're selling tons of those. And I'm wondering if there's still that sort of that paranoia out there about going with front-wheel drive vehicles for police cars, or is that gone now?
I think that's gone now. I think with the evolution of police vehicles over the last 15, 20 years, you've seen that vehicles now outperform what previous specs were from an agency. So, you know, agencies would kind of get together and say, okay, these are the basic specs. We need a vehicle to do these types of maneuvers and this type of testing. So at Ford, we actually have an engineering team that works specifically on our police vehicles. So anything that we sell is a police vehicle. So if it says police interceptor or police responder, it has been specifically engineered, tested internally, and then also tested with third parties. So agencies like Michigan State Police, the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department, California Highway Patrol, they perform different third-party tests and actually test all of the vehicles to verify that we maintain certain kind of structures that they want within the vehicle in terms of timing and speed, braking distances, 0 to 60, 0 to 100, also 100 to 0, 60 to 0. So they test all these different things. They see how it performs in different courses that they set up. So it's really, it's very interesting when you start digging into the vehicles and seeing how they're engineered and what changes are made above and beyond the typical vehicle in order to get it to perform. So police vehicles, they're purpose-built, so they're designed to be used by police. They're designed to be used 24/7. Mm-hmm. We know most agencies, they take a vehicle, they hot seat it. So an officer has a vehicle for 12 hours. It goes back into the station. They toss the keys to somebody. Somebody else gets in that vehicle. They're then going to drive it and use it for another 12 hours. So the vehicles are designed with that idea in mind that they have to be durable enough to last 24/7, whether they're on the road for 3 years or 5 years or 7 years.
So can you talk a little bit about, you mentioned it a little bit, but can you talk a little bit about what the differences are between a police vehicle and a regular consumer vehicle that you'd sell out of a dealership?
Oh, can I talk about it? This is my favorite thing to talk about.
Woo!
So the number one vehicle that we talk about is our Police Interceptor Utility. So that's the vehicle that's based on the Explorer. That is anything that has an interceptor name to it actually has a higher level of engineering than all of our other vehicles. It doesn't mean that a responder is less than. It's just that the interceptor is kind of that top level for us, uh-huh. And then a responder would be right under it. The interceptor, why it gets that top level, it is the only vehicle on the market that is crash rated for 75 mile an hour rear impact.
That mm-hmm. number seems crazy.
Because those vehicles are parked on the side of the expressway
wow.
and
oh,
get
yeah.
hit so often.
Yeah.
So you would think that people would move out of the way
you
of
would
an emergency
think that.
Vehicle or they would see the lights and they would try to get away from it. But unfortunately, some people still kind of play fast and loose and forget that when they're driving too close to those vehicles, that that's an officer's life or that's a pedestrian's life that they're getting a little bit too close to. So our vehicle is designed with that 75 crash impact, the idea being the officer's in the vehicle, or there could be somebody in the back seat of the vehicle. So we want to make sure whether you're in the front seat or you're in the back seat, everybody is safe in that vehicle. So the 75 mile an hour rear crash impact, we actually have a reinforced frame with a boron steel, and then we have two sets of crossbars in the back. So when the vehicle gets into an accident situation, such as being hit, you know, from the rear on the expressway, the vehicle crumples around the passenger zone. Mm. So the inside of that vehicle is going to keep, you know, your officers in the front, and whether you have passengers in the rear seat or if you have a canine cage in your rear seat, it's going to keep everybody safe in that area and then let the rest of the vehicle crumple around them.
Wow.
Other things that we've done for it being a pursuit-rated vehicle, we have an updated transmission. We have an updated cooling system. We have an updated braking system. We have pursuit-specific wheels. So we work with a couple of different suppliers, and we do wheels that are they're specifically pursuit-rated, so they grip the ground a little bit differently than a traditional wheel would. So everything in that vehicle has been designed and engineered in a manner that focuses on officer safety, and vehicle long-term durability.
A real quick question about electrification. So you guys have two vehicles right now on your police page, the F-150 Lightning Pro SSV, and then it looks like a prototype, the Mustang Mach-E GT. How interested is law enforcement in general in electrification?
You know, we've had a lot of agencies that are picking up the vehicles. There's only a handful of agencies that are picking up larger quantities of them, but we're seeing a lot of agencies that are picking up, you know, a few, like two, three, five here and there. And what they're doing is they're testing. It's a new technology. There's a lot of information that they need to figure out, and they need to figure out how the powertrain works within their entire ecosystem. So when you pick up an electric vehicle, you have to think about things, you know, charging. Are you going to charge at the station? Are you going to charge at home? If you're going to charge at the station, do the station chargers, are they locked in the back so only officers can use them,
right,
or are they out in the front so they're open to the public? So there's a lot of things to think about. So right now with the vehicles that we have, like you're talking about the F-150 Lightning Pro SSV, and then it, very, very good call, it was the Mustang Mach-E GT. We actually did a pilot program with the Mustang Mach-E GT. That was kind of our first foray of going into electric vehicles and testing them. And we started sending that for third-party testing 3 years ago, I believe, for the 2022 model year testing.
Uh-huh.
And we started doing that, and we worked with a few agencies, and they let us do a pilot on that, that we were able to, we didn't record GPS data, but we recorded all of their telematics data, and they fed that back to us. So we loaned the vehicle out to them for, you know, 12 to 18 months. They had it upfit. They used it as a patrol vehicle. They used it in normal city areas. They used it on highways. They used it wherever they wanted to. We didn't set any rules or regulations. We let them use the vehicle as they normally would, helped them get a charging system set up. And it was really good for us because we were able to then take that data and feed it back into our systems. And not only do we have what the officers are telling us is important to them, but we also have the information that we're getting, that actual telematics data, so we can see how they're driving the vehicle. How is the vehicle functioning? When you bring that vehicle in after a 12-hour shift, how much battery do you have left? How much battery pull is your equipment? Officers, when they're in the vehicle, they have a laptop, they have a radar, they have a radio, they have lights, they have sirens, they've got, we call it a core, it's kind of the brain that runs everything in the vehicle. Those all pull energy from the battery system.
Right.
So how does that work? The Mustang Mach-E GT, we have, you can update that and do one pedal driving. So it allows for a regenerative braking system that can actually charge the battery while the vehicle's driving and you just do everything off the one pedal. So the officers switched to that for part of the time, let us know when they were doing that, and we were able to kind of take that feedback and put it back into the system and see what works for us and what doesn't work for us.
Is it your impression that there will be more police electrification in the near future, or maybe not?
I think it's going to be a combination. Mm-hmm. I think that agencies are starting to add electrification. About 3 years ago when I started this job, I think there was a little bit, not all agencies were on board with electrification.
Sure.
And I think there's a lot more acceptance and willingness to have the discussion and try and start moving forward down that avenue. So it's, to me, it's really exciting to see. You know, I'm an auto person, so I love that agencies are willing to have that discussion. And it's nice for me because I can sit down and have, you know, what's your plan? What does your fleet look like in a year? What's it look like in 3 years? What's it look like in 5 years? So we can help our customers kind of come up with a plan and then work with their city councils on budgets and figure out what the infrastructure changes that they need to do as they move down that path.
So from the study that you guys did with the Mach-E GT, were there any big takeaways? Was there anything that you learned that you were like, oh, that was unexpected, or, oh, yeah, that was kind of what we thought would happen?
And how did the officers feel about them?
So one of the agencies that we put the pilot vehicle out in, it was actually funny. Some of the officers at first were a little hesitant to use the vehicle. Just because, I mean, it's a Mustang Mach-E GT. It's a very nice vehicle. Little more expensive than our traditional patrol vehicles, which, I mean, you know, a traditional patrol vehicle is not a cheap vehicle at all.
Right.
It's just that when you think of, you know, the Mustang Mach-E GT, you think of it as being a little bit, you get a little bit more concerned. So we went to the agency and we had the discussion. We're like, listen, drive the vehicle. We want you to drive it. We want you to test it. Don't be afraid to drive it. If you have an accident, which we know happened, let us know. We'll help you. We'll get into the garage. If you have questions, let us know. Once the officers got the vehicle and put it on the road, we were actually really surprised with the feedback we got about how positive it was. And one of the other things that they noticed is a really positive impact of the vehicle in the community. Because a lot of people wanted to come up to the officers and talk to them about it. So it was they kind of took it different places and they explained, you know, hey, we're piloting this vehicle. We haven't purchased it yet, but this is what they're doing. And, you know, different people in the community were asking questions and kids were getting engaged in a different manner. So I think it was a really good way to kind of bridge certain conversations and have discussions and, you know, get officers out in the community to, you know, meet some of the community members. And it was a little bit different than something they've done before.
Well, that's cool. Lindsay, we're already out of time, but tell us about the 75th anniversary you guys are celebrating.
2025 is a big year for us, so it is 75th anniversary of Ford offering a purpose-built police vehicle.
Cool.
So we're so excited to do this. Yeah, thank you. So, yay! Me personally, I'm really excited. I come from a law enforcement family, so this is something very near and dear to my heart. And just knowing that Ford has been in the industry for so long, I think that sets us apart from a lot of different manufacturers because we've taken the time, you know, we've been here. The 1950s film was our first introduction of that purpose-built package. And as we move forward, we've listened to our customers, we've studied, we've made the updates, and we continue to put the customer first. And that's what makes our vehicles stand apart.
It says here that the first Ford police car was a 51 flathead V8. I assume that was a coupe in those days. The 51 Ford was a good-looking car, and it looks really good in black and white. Do you guys still have one someplace?
We don't. I'm trying to find one. I've asked Greenfield Village if they have one. We just haven't heard back, but we are trying to find one. We have a lot of different agencies across the country that reach out that have old police vehicles that they use for displays or recruiting purposes or bring them out for different community events. So if any agencies have any of the old vehicles, let us know. We would love to get some pictures with them.
Well, cool. We'll spread the word. Lindsay, if someone needs to get a hold of you guys in the police department there, how do they do that?
If anybody needs to get hold of us, if you go to FordPro.com in the resources, there's going to be a section for the government department. If you want to go in there, there's a list of the different government sales managers across the country, or you can call the 800 number, and they will give you in contact with anybody that you need.
Sounds great. Lindsay, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. Sorry, I started choking at the end.
No problem. We understand completely.
Time of year.
All right. That was Lindsay Bertino.
It was wonderful talking to you.
Thank you. That was Lindsay Bertino with Ford. We're going to take a break, and when we come back,
quiz time.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com.
I'm Robert Colangelo, host of The Green Sense Show. Every week, we feature groundbreaking innovations from energy and agriculture to smart cities and sustainable transportation. We interview experts working to create a cleaner, greener future. One of my favorite segments is Green Automotive News with auto expert Tom Appel. We test drive and review the latest EVs, hybrids, and ultra-efficient cars. Visit greensenseshow.com or listen to The Green Sense Minute on 105.9 WBBM Chicago.
Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
Welcome back. This is the Consumer Guide Cough Fest. I'm Tom. She is Jill. We're all throat impaired.
We are.
Scratchy.
We
got the scratchy.
We've got the scratchy. Today is the first day I feel like I haven't been coughing up a lung.
Yeah, I don't know. I got very, very sick and tired last night, but I got a decent night's sleep, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Real quick, I want to go through these things. We're going to talk social media, but I just thought this was fun, so I checked this today. Other American-made cop cars that are out there for 2025, Dodge has the Dodge Durango Pursuit, which, by the way, is available with a V8. And I don't know what's going on with V8s at Stellantis right now, but there you have it. Well, this one's interesting, the Wagoneer Command Operations Vehicle. And it's a base Wagoneer, but you get the higher output Hurricane engine, so that's kind of fun. And the 1500 Special Service Vehicle, that's a Ram.
Okay.
So there's that.
I see the, so driving down to Indianapolis, I see Dodge vehicles.
Do you?
Those in Indiana, they have Dodge cars.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, we used to see Dodge Chargers everywhere. General Motors has the Blazer EV PPV. I don't know how many of them they're moving, but that's based on the Blazer.
Okay.
498 horsepower. That's probably a pretty good pursuit vehicle.
Yeah, yeah.
If the battery holds out.
Yeah, right.
The Tahoe PPV. I used to work with a woman whose husband was a Chicago police officer who had the Tahoe. His favorite police car ever.
Okay.
I guess they were super comfortable. They weren't always all-wheel drive, though. Which seems like a mistake in Chicago. If you can get all-wheel drive, you think you'd want it.
Yeah.
There's the Tahoe SSV, which is like a not heavy duty version of the Tahoe, the Silverado PPV, which comes with Brembo front brakes. How cool is it to get a Silverado with front Brembos? Brembos are a premium brand of brakes. Yep. And the Silverado SSV, no Brembos. So there you have it. Those are the big police vehicle offerings. Oh, you know what? We didn't talk about these with Lindsay. So Ford has the Police Interceptor Utility, the F-150 Police Responder, the F-150 Lightning Pro SSV, the Expedition Max SSV.
Yeah.
And this is the one I want to test drive, the Transit Prisoner Transport Vehicle.
Okay.
I just want to lock up my wife and daughter and take them to Woodfield or something. And we talked about the Mustang Mach-E.
I'll give you my husband to lock up as well. How's that?
All right.
Yeah.
It's quiz time, but
social
first.
Media.
Yeah, no.
Don't forget me.
I didn't forget.
Okay.
I was trying to forget.
You were trying. I know. Yeah. You were trying to skip me. No, I'm on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, Threads, Blue Sky. I'm on all the things. And you can find me at Jill Simonello or hashtag car du jour.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, if there's a social media I'm not on that you think I should be on, let me know.
I won't talk about our Blue Sky contest this week, but one of the funniest things about Blue Sky is I keep getting people to follow me, and then they unfollow me almost immediately. And it's like, what have I done?
Oh, yeah, no. People who follow me stay.
I'm not immediately offensive. Yeah, maybe.
Kind of are immediately offensive. I'm just going to put that out there. Just going to say.
Yeah, a lot of people follow me, but then they decide not to.
They don't find your CarSpotter hashtag that interesting, apparently.
That seems wrong.
I know.
CarSpotter's pretty fabulous. All right.
Okay.
All right. I saw, what was the Buick wagon called? Was it the Regal Tour X?
Yeah, the Tour X.
Spotted one of those the other day.
That was one of my favorite wagony type vehicles.
Yes.
I loved that.
Yeah, I wish the Regal had lasted, and I wish those fun versions of it had lasted.
Well, the Regal seats were so flipping comfortable.
Yeah, I never remember seat comfort.
I remember because I drive
but
a lot.
It is funny that Buick came out with what was essentially an Outback, and they couldn't give it away. But Subaru can't make enough Outbacks.
No.
And the Buick was nicer interior.
Yeah.
Probably wasn't the better car. Anyway, it's quiz time, Jill.
Yeah, okay.
Did you finish your old social yada yada?
Yeah. Okay. Car du jour. That's the important thing to know.
All right. It's quiz time. This is the Car Stuff Power Quiz number 262. Today's topic, you're going to like this one. What's it made of?
Oh, great.
We're talking now about body panels.
Okay.
The body of the car.
Chocolate, vanilla.
Sure. I'm going to actually give you a list of potential materials.
Okay.
And I'll just give you a car. It's really easy. First one, are you ready?
Yeah, I'm totally going to be like throwing a dart at the wall the entire time.
The Tesla Model S.
Okay.
That was the first mass-produced Tesla, and that's their big sedan. It's still available. People still buy it, and I think people who buy it like it.
They do.
Is it made of, are the body panels made of steel, stainless steel, aluminum, some sort of plastic composite, or Adobe?
I don't know what Adobe is. Other than Photoshop.
It's not Adobe, so don't worry about it.
Okay. So you said aluminum, steel.
Steel, stainless steel, aluminum, or plastic?
I'm going to say plastic.
No, they're aluminum.
Okay.
All right, you're not on the board.
No, like I said, I'm. This could be the quiz that I lose.
Jill, you have no points.
I have no points. Your favorite phrase.
All right. Five questions total.
Okay.
Two, three, four. One, two. I got to find the rest of the quiz. Here it is. That was scary.
You're just going to have to make it up.
Really can't call my wife right now. She's not going to get here in time.
No.
Number two, the Saturn Relay.
Okay.
That was Saturn's minivan between 2005 and 2007. It was a huge disappointment. Was that steel, stainless steel, aluminum, plastic, composite, or linoleum?
Linoleum. That's not my answer. I would like to think that it was the plastic composite because remember those commercials where they would like bounce balls or throw things at the doors and they would pop back out?
Yeah.
So I'm going with that.
Yeah, it's not though. It was steel. The crappy minivans were all the same. This was the same as the
Buick
Terrazzo.
I'm just going to say plastic composite for like all of them.
That may not get you to three answers. five questions plus the bonus question. You need three total. But no, the correct answer was steel. This is where Saturn started to lose its way.
Yeah.
Because the plastic composite body panels on Saturn were important to the brand identity.
They were very smart.
Yeah. And it was cool. Number three, the Pontiac The Pontiac Fiero. Steel, stainless steel, aluminum, plastic composite, or Bondo?
Bondo?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, like, plastic composite is not my friend here. I have no idea.
Wait, you owned a Fiero. Yeah. Producer Randy knows the answer.
Yeah. Hey, do you want A, B, or C? Let me make eye contact.
You need help. Anything
know,
you can get
I
is
know.
Fine.
Okay, so...
There's no money writing on this.
You said...
steel, stainless steel, aluminum, plastic composite, or Bondo? We should do a whole show about Bondo at some point.
I'm going to go with steel.
No, they were plastic. Which was funny because they like to burst into flames, so they melted.
Yeah.
I think it was the early 2.5s that used to catch fire.
So I'm like totally losing this.
You got to ride this one out.
Yeah,
you
I'm
need
not
the
getting
next
it.
Three.
I'm not getting it. This is going to be a goose egg.
Ready?
All right.
DeLorean DMC, the DeLorean, 1981 to 83. John Z. DeLorean's dream car that went horribly wrong.
Yeah.
The end product was kind of disappointing, and that's a shame because the guy had dreams.
He did have dreams.
He was like a legit engineer with a vision. He brought us the GTO. Dude should have had better luck instead of, you know, buying cocaine. Steel, stainless steel, aluminum, plastic composite, or mother of pearl?
I'm going to go with steel.
This one's stainless steel.
Okay.
Yeah, brushed stainless steel.
Okay. I've officially lost.
You officially lost today. Yeah, the DeLorean DMC. Some people have coated those with like a plastic coating that gives them color.
I know that a lot of the like the Tesla trucks, the Cybertrucks,
they've been doing wraps, which don't remove. Which is a problem. All right, last one of the regular questions. The Ford F-150, steel, stainless steel, aluminum, plastic composite, or titanium?
I'm going to say aluminum.
Yes. Titanium, of course, is the exterior of the Enterprise D.
Yeah, that I don't know. I'm like, right.
You have 1 point. We have a bonus question here. Very easy one. Are you ready?
Okay, yes.
All right, I'm just going to throw this out there. No prelude. Are you ready?
Okay.
Jill, which of the following gentlemen was never a U.S. Surgeon General? And before we move forward, Surgeon General, I think every writer at some point learns that the plural of Surgeon General is what?
Surgeons General.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which makes us wonder, like, what is the plural of Whopper Jr.?
Whoppers Jr.
Right. It has to be.
I mean, it's kind of like mothers-in-law, fathers-in-law.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Surgeons General, I've got four of them here. One of them is fake. Are you ready?
Yeah.
C. Everett Koop.
Okay.
David Satcher. Luther L. Terry. Quincy Jones.
Okay. I know Quincy Jones is a singer, so that's got to be it.
He's not a singer.
Or a musician of some sort.
He's actually a producer.
Okay.
But you got that one.
I'm like, I know that name. I'm like, the other ones, I have no clue.
David Satcher, I presented to him once.
Okay.
When I worked for the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, I was presenting some research we had done. Mm-hmm. It was a big deal in those days because it was really hard to do live things that were approximated, you know, a Zoom call.
Right.
Yeah. So I sort of know. He would not remember me.
Okay.
All right.
But you're very memorable, Tom.
Not that memorable.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
We have some stuff to go over here real quick. The Sons of Speed.
Yes.
The Sons of Speed, our friends.
Yes.
Paul and Brendan have done a video. They want us to talk about it.
Okay.
But basically, they Ford, mm-hmm. if you buy a Ford Bronco, mm-hmm. you get a pass to go to one of Ford's off-rodeos.
Yes.
Which is an educational, fun, outdoor thing where you take the vehicle and use it in the environment it's meant to be fully exploited in.
Yes.
And they did this with a Bronco Badlands.
Okay.
They've got a 20-minute video up now. I watched most of it this morning. It's great. Like all their videos, it's great.
Yeah.
Because the banter between them is fun, and there was almost no blood. They didn't get hurt.
Oh, so. That's good.
Yeah.
Any flat tires?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've done a couple of the Bronco off-rodeos.
Yeah, I imagine.
It is a cool experience.
It looks like fun.
Yeah.
It looks like fun. So if you buy a Bronco, make sure you exploit that opportunity.
Yeah.
I just used the word exploit too many times.
You did.
Yeah.
But I believe that the experience itself is free, but you've got to get yourself there.
You just have to get your butt there.
And you have to like pay for a hotel wherever it is
yeah.
you go. I know there's one in Las Vegas, so probably a pretty affordable flight. I think the hotels in Las Vegas can be affordable,
right.
And then you have this amazing experience that you can go to.
Yeah, there are none in Palatine.
No, there's none. There are none in Illinois. I think there's one in Austin, Texas as well. Which one did they go to? Did they
I
say?
I don't remember now. I knew it. I knew it this morning. I'm not good.
I'm like, what good are you? Okay. No, but so there's several around the country now. They're opening up more. I feel like I've been to the one in Austin and I've been to the one in Las Vegas. And they even have a special Raptor experience. So, like, you do something different if you buy a Bronco Raptor.
Yeah. And the Raptor is really an over-trail. What do they call that? The desert runner thing. It's really,
Baja
it's like, yeah, it's a Baja.
Like a,
it's not
yeah.
really an off-roader, though it will acquit itself very well off-road.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's got the stuff, but it's got the extreme suspension travel mm-hmm. for that crazy things that happens when you jump and you actually get air.
Yeah.
You need to land softly.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, man. I am driving. We have a couple of minutes left here. I'm driving the Lexus RZ450E.
Okay.
Which is Lexus's only electric vehicle. This mm-hmm. is the four-wheel drive version. Mm-hmm. There is a two-wheel drive version that's the 300E. And this vehicle is entirely delightful. But
you did mention a problem offline.
Yeah, I'm driving it in the cold, and there's two problems. This vehicle doesn't have enough range anyway. I think it has 208 miles with all-wheel drive,
yeah.
which is a little light. But when it was delivered to me, it only had 120 miles of stated range
okay.
on the meter. Here was the problem with that. I drove it to the health club and back, like a 10-minute drive, and my range like dropped to like 90 or something. It was crazy. And that shouldn't have happened. But after that, it almost didn't go down. Days of use, and I was still in the 70s. So what's happening here, clearly, is that Toyota has made a decision. Lexus has made a decision. Worst case scenario kind of information, so you don't get stuck. The problem with that is you perceive it as tragic information
yeah.
when it's really just sort of bad information.
Right.
And I did try to charge it now. This is on me. But I did park the car in my driveway overnight, so it was not in a heated garage. And then I did go to a charger, and it was cold out, and it took a very long time to get any charge at all. But some of that's on me.
Yeah, you know, I mean, and I don't know. I haven't had the Lexus or Toyota vehicles at home, and I don't know if they have preconditioning. Because
I don't think this does.
Okay, because preconditioning definitely helps them charge faster and better. Because I find, like in some, like if you route yourself to a charger, it will automatically precondition. In others, you have to press a button that you want it to precondition.
Yeah.
And then there are some that just don't have any preconditioning. And I don't know why you would do that. But I have a 110 volt in my garage. So if I have an EV, I plug in overnight. But if I ever have to take a road trip or whatever, I do have to visit charging stations. And I will say, I've had usually pretty good luck getting them charged.
Yeah, and I do want to get to the crux of the matter here. And that's that this RZ is a delightful vehicle.
Yes.
Beautiful interior, great ride and handling. It's quick off the line. It's not fast. It's not as fast as a lot of EVs, mm-hmm. but it is plenty fast and faster than other stuff in traffic. Ride and handling, a great build quality is outstanding. It's everything that a Lexus should be, mm-hmm. Including very comfortable. And the stereo is excellent. And I can't remember what brand stereo this is, but it's very good.
Okay.
So it's an outstanding vehicle. It just has some EV limitations, and it needs more battery.
Yeah.
I think it's like a 78 kilowatt hour battery.
Okay.
And that's not quite getting it done.
No.
But if you live someplace where it doesn't get cold or you don't need the range, seriously think about this
because
it's delightful.
Yeah.
All right. Guess what we did?
We talked a lot.
We apparently gave Lindsay Bertino our colds.
Yeah, through the air. We're blaming my husband for all of this, by the way.
I always do.
Yeah.
Yeah. If not my wife, your husband.
Yes.
All right. All right. Thanks to Lindsay Bertino of Ford. Thank you, Jill. Thanks to producer Randy and the good folks here at TalkZone. Let's talk more about cars.
Next week.
Let's talk more about cars.
Next week.
All right.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.